Welcome back to another volume of Truly Disturbing Tales from Reddit. Today we're going to be narrating three new unsettling stories taken directly from the platform. I encourage you all to sit back, grab a snack, and enjoy these terrifying personal accounts. Now, without any further delay, let's jump right in. I'd like to share with you a series of horrendous events from my childhood that we never quite got a resolution to. There were some suspects, but no one was ever brought to justice. So, I guess I'll just start there. This part of the story happened roughly around 1990, during my summer break from school, but continued on for quite some time afterwards. I must have been 7 or 8. I grew up just with my mom. My dad was never in the picture. So we lived alone until I was about 12, when my mother remarried. Our secluded country neighborhood was safe for the most part, and all of our immediate neighbors were elderly, save for one couple who had a few young adult sons around my brother's age. For the most part, though, we didn't have much riffraff in the area. At first, there were only minor clues to indicate something was going on, such as things being moved in the backyard. And I guess because my mother has always been a paranoid conspiracy theorist, she had an idea that something was happening. I didn't really know this until I heard her talking about it much later after the events. She often tried to hide things so they wouldn't scare me. She even started sleeping in my room with me at night, probably because she was paranoid. But I just assumed it was because we could stay up late and watch movies together while we ate snacks. One morning after I got up, I noticed that our old wooden back door had huge chunks missing out of it, around the part where the lock and bolt goes into the door frame. It was as if someone was trying to chip away at the locked part. I showed my mom what I had discovered, not realizing why the door was damaged, and she went completely silent, pale-faced, and panicked. I could tell something was wrong, but I was much too young to understand that someone had apparently tried to break in, either during the night or while we were out. That day, my mother mended the door to the best of her abilities, and if I remember correctly, she even put a new lock on it from the hardware store. She also filed a police report, but there was nothing that they could do. When I was a kid, I had a German shepherd named Munchie. He was this big, spoiled baby who loved raiding the refrigerator with me, but to a stranger, he was probably very intimidating. He was my best friend and a very watchful eye over me, and I still miss him to this day. For a week or two, after Mom and I would go to bed, Munchie would start pacing and whining and acting very anxious. Since we lived in such a rural place with no imminent danger, Mom would frequently let him outside by himself. So one night, when he was acting exceptionally strange, she opened the door up and let him outside alone. We didn't have central air because our house was old. We were poor, and Kentucky summers weren't really too hot anyway. At night, Mom would open up all the windows in the house, with the halfway burglar latch, of course. Since she was in my room with me, watching a movie, we had both my bedroom windows all the way up. My back window overlooked a bit of a hill, which gradually sloped into a low, wide bottom. The bottom itself was full of tall weeds and bushes. Suddenly, we heard movement in the brush of the bottom. Munchie. Then we heard him snarling, like a werewolf. Mom got up and ran to the window, but she couldn't see a thing in the darkness. What we heard next was absolutely horrifying. It sounded as if Munchie was attacking someone. He was making those god-awful noises as if he was eating someone alive. I began to cry, terrified that something would happen to my best friend. And that's when my mom started screaming in horror for Munchie to come home. We heard what sounded like someone escape my dog's wrath and take off through the brush. Mom ran to the back door, with me right behind her, and called for Munchie at the top of her lungs until he came running back into the house. He was panting and grunting, all bristled up. I hugged him so tightly, I might have nearly squeezed the life out of him. As time progressed on, things got even worse. Being so young, I didn't know for a long time. But my mom was safeguarding the house. She even moved a tall dresser in front of my window that overlooked the hill and bottom. She tried her best, but whoever was harassing us was finding new ways to make our life a living hell. One night, my mom said she heard peculiar noises coming from the backyard. I didn't necessarily remember this, so I had to call her for details before telling this story. The sounds were coming from under the dining room windows, which overlooked the backyard. She turned on the security light in the back of the house and saw a ladder propped up against the back of our home, as if someone was trying to climb in through our windows. This incident seemed more like an empty threat than a real one, especially considering that the back door was probably a more easily accessible point. We don't know if the person thought the windows would be unlocked or what, but for whatever reason, they gave it a try. Again, she called our local police, and again, they did nothing. I should probably note that we really didn't have much law enforcement there. You probably wouldn't believe me if I tried to tell you how worthless the police were, and still are in that area. On a separate occasion, and this memory is burned into my brain because it scared me so badly, someone snuck up to my bedroom window one evening. I hate to think what their intentions might have been. Mom had drifted off to sleep, but I was quietly watching the rest of Willy Wonka. I was looking in the direction of my ominous window, the one that overlooked the bottom. So I ended up getting a good look at this big, white hand, which reached up and slapped my window screen multiple times in rapid succession. I screamed, Mom woke up, and the tormentor took off, no doubt through the brushy bottom. Now, my mom is a dog person. She absolutely adores them, and has always had lots of dogs and puppies around. We had 7 little black pups and the mother dog around this time, and they lived outside on our huge property. They had plenty of space to play and a nice big doghouse to lay their heads at. At some point around the same time that stuff was happening, we had to be out of town for a few days. Mom had some people watching the house, and I guess she didn't really think anything horrendous would happen. Then again, she wasn't aware of how far this whole thing would go. When we came home, Mom's puppies had been killed and lined up in a row on the side of the yard, close to my window that overlooked the bottom. This was devastating. The police did little to help, although they did tell her how short to saw off her shotgun so that it was still legal, while also advising us to keep Munchie in the house. I forgot to ask, but I'm nearly positive that Mom ended up sending the mommy dog away to live at her sister's house on the other side of town. Months later, incidents were increasing in occurrence, and then someone decided to take it way too far. Something hit the back of the house in the wee hours of the morning. Mom looked out the windows and saw nothing, at least not until the next morning. She found a stick with a charred pine knot on it. Someone had apparently lit it on fire and thrown it at our house. I assume that they were hoping that our house would burn. And once again, don't even ask about the cops, because they did nothing. I wouldn't be surprised if they knew who the culprit was the whole time and just didn't care. Then, one day, Munchie went missing. He had gone out to the bathroom in the evening before bed, but he didn't come back immediately, like he always did. He vanished. I don't really want to go into detail about this because it breaks my heart all over again, but we found him several days later. Turns out, he had been poisoned. To be completely honest, I could keep going with the story. Although it takes a lot of unbelievable turns, not all of them are horrifying. Some are just ridiculous. But around 2009, a multiple-year-long court case began where my mom had to fight a group of her neighbors in court to keep them from stealing her property. Those events led us to believe that the people involved with that case may have had something to do with the torment we experienced for all those years. But honestly, all we can do is assume. So, to those that tormented us, I wish we could meet. But you're just some lowly coward who harasses women and children and takes some sort of enjoyment in hurting animals. This happened a few months back. I'm a sophomore in college, and I was traveling down to my hometown over break. I was having some relationship issues with my stepmom, so I didn't want to stay at my dad's house the night that I arrived in my hometown. So I phoned a friend of mine from high school to ask if I could stay at his place. I knew from social media that he was still in town, and I've stayed at his place before, so I knew that there would be a place for me to stay if they would allow it. My friend, let's call him Z, seemed like a pretty normal dude. We weren't best friends or anything, but we got pretty close by the time we had graduated. We would occasionally text or hang out if I was in town, and catch up, reminisce on the times we spent in orchestra, or in English class. When I called, he seemed extremely enthusiastic. This wasn't off-brand, as Z was typically a very upbeat guy. But this time, he seemed over the moon. Like he had just won the lottery, or was getting a brand new car. I didn't really give it a second thought at the time, and he said that I could sleep in the guest room, so I headed right over. When I got to his house, he was just as excited in person as he was on the phone. He was bringing up stuff to do, like getting high and watching weird movies, or playing video games. Z's parents weren't home, so he really wanted the opportunity to smoke. I was pretty tired from the drive, but since we rarely see each other, I thought a little bit about how bonding couldn't hurt. We played some Super Smash Bros., smoked a little weed, and just chatted for a few hours. It was longer than I wanted, but I was having fun, so whatever, right? By the time it was getting late, around 2 a.m., he started asking me some pretty weird questions, like if I ever wondered what it was like to kill someone, or if I thought anyone would miss me if I were gone. This along with some pretty normal questions like if I had a boyfriend, or how my parents are doing, or if I'm making any friends at school. In combination, they gave me a rather weird feeling. I was confused in the moment, but it didn't hit me until after that Z could be assessing me for something bad. The weirdness of it all made me just want to go to bed. We stopped the game and both went into the basement where his room and the guest room were. We say goodnight to one another. I go to my room and begin to get ready for bed. I'm having trouble sleeping, just typical insomnia that I've had for a while. So I stay awake for around an hour until I hear some movement outside my room. The walls down there are pretty thin, so I could hear footsteps walking past my door and up the stairs to the main floor, then back down quickly afterwards. What struck me as odd was I didn't hear the basement door open, which creaks when it does. The light didn't ever turn on, so I was confused as to what Z was doing. I heard him go back into his room, but I still had this odd feeling. Just ever since I met him this night, he seemed a lot different than he's ever been. I decided to look him up on social media and Google to see if there were anything out of the ordinary to pop up. Everything seemed normal. Until I found his Tumblr, which was linked from his inactive Twitter account that I found on my Twitter contact list. His Tumblr was, well, disturbing. There were graphic drawings of mutilated bodies of both humans and animals, links to suspicious-looking websites that I didn't dare to click on, texts and posts about murdering, cannibalism, necrophilia, and torture. There were photos of guns, knives, and axes, which, after looking closely, I could tell were taken in his bedroom. The last post, one from around a week prior, was a text post from the account saying he wished that he could find someone easy to kill, like a homeless person. This is what immediately filled me with dread. I knew he was going to do something. He must have gone up the stairs to lock the door. I quietly packed my things, luckily I packed lightly, and opened this small window at the top of my bedroom's wall. I started desperately climbing through, and as I was pulling my legs through, He opened the door. It was dark, but the streetlight illuminated enough for me to see that he was carrying something long and skinny in one hand. Thinking back, there's no doubt in my mind that it was a knife. He didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I just turned around, hopped in my car, and drove as fast as I could to my dad's house. I immediately blocked him everywhere and reported his Tumblr account. Not before telling the police, though. They said they couldn't do anything, as the guns were registered under his dad, and he hasn't actually done anything. Yet. Nevertheless, I told my other high school friends not to hang out with Z. Ever since then, I've been creeped out whenever I meet new people. Just the realization that someone I knew so well could, underneath the facade, be this person who could hurt me so badly, who, in a certain situation, could desire to kill me. I don't know what you're doing now, Z. I'm not sure that I want to know. But I do hope that you're getting the help that you need, and staying far, far away from me while you get it. This happened years back, but still affects me to this day. I apologize for the length of this ahead of time, but I feel like I have to tell this whole story. The summer after I graduated high school, I was still living at home. I was up late one night and was packing for a camping trip with my friends. It was unbelievably hot that evening, and I had the window open as I sat and folded clothes. It was around 2 a.m. as I remember it. And the next thing that I knew, there was a single hand coming through the gap in the screen of my window. I screamed, and the hand retreated. I was stunned, but there was a part of me that wondered if it was my younger brother pranking me. I got up and looked out the window, and just saw the figure of a man staring back at me from the darkness. I ran into my brother's room, and he was there playing video games. We called the police, who came and searched the area. They found nothing, warned me and my parents to lock the windows and doors, and then left. We were all still shaken up, and my mom had a feeling that whoever that was outside would return. It turns out that her mother's intuition was spot on. She went outside and waited on her back porch. After no more than 20 minutes, she saw a man dressed in black slink into our backyard along the tree line. He hid behind a tree for a few seconds and ran to another tree before hiding there, slowly working his way towards my window. My mother yelled something to him and he took off running. The police came back out again, but once more found no trace of him. I never opened that window again, not even the curtains. My parents installed some motion detecting lights, and that seemed to be the end of that. About 6 months later, my friend and I got an apartment downtown together. We were really excited, as this was our first place on our own. The apartment itself wasn't exactly the best quality, but it was so fun to be living in the city. The downside was that it was street parking only. After a few weeks, my car was broken into. Nothing was taken, but a single rose sat on the passenger seat. It was creepy, but I vowed to remain vigilant and safe. I always tried to park close to the entrance, near the lights, but often it was difficult to get those spots, and I would have to park farther away, on some of the darker streets. Things quickly began escalating at this point. My car was broken into at least once a week. Most of the time, a flower was left, which I always threw on the ground. But one time, a pair of men's underwear was left. And even more creepily, once a bag of Tootsie Rolls. They were my favorite candy back then. This made me wonder if the person knew me personally, and I started to become suspicious of just about everyone in my circle. There was a laundry room in the basement of the apartment, and one day, I went down to get a load that finished drying. As I began to fold, I realized all of my undergarments, bras, and panties were gone. Another week, I had a male friend over from school, and his tires were slashed during the visit. By the time the first letter arrived, I had already started making plans to move elsewhere. This letter described a love for me that had been going on for years. It noted things that proved whoever had sent this had been watching me, and watching me closely. I was able to arrange for another friend to take over my lease, and I moved in with a separate friend on the other side of the city. It was in a secured building and had an underground parking garage that was only accessible to tenants. I felt much, much more secure, and the extra money spent was well worth the peace of mind. Things were quiet for a few months, and then my roommate got a boyfriend. Most of us were immediately wary of Ashley's new boyfriend. For one, they met on MySpace after he reached out to her. Another reason was that the new boyfriend, Matt, was extremely good looking. And while Ashley was a wonderful person, she just wasn't the type that you would typically expect someone like him to date. Ashley was thrilled. She had never had a boyfriend before, and really felt like he was her Prince Charming. I thought he was weird and creepy from the beginning. Matt was on the quiet side, and always seemed to be sporting an uncomfortable, leering smile. It was difficult to carry on any sort of conversation with him because he would always make it weird with some random facts that were completely unrelated to what we were talking about. I had deleted my MySpace when the initial stalking began, but I created a dummy account to learn more about Matt. It didn't look like he really knew any of his friends in real life. There were only pictures of himself on the page, and the rest of the information listed was vague. My friends and I gently tried to discourage Ashley from seeing Matt. He technically hadn't done anything wrong, but he was just so strange. She would immediately get defensive and would shut the conversations down. Matt started to spend more time at the apartment, and I found myself finding any excuse I could to avoid coming home. One day I came home from work and found Matt on my couch, alone, drinking a beer. Ashley had been called into work, and she told him he could just hang out. I was furious because I didn't want to spend any time with him, so I grabbed a beer and a snack and headed off to my room and shut the door. About 30 minutes later, Matt knocked on my door and suggested that we watch some TV and get to know each other better, because we both loved Ashley. I didn't want to, but decided that maybe I needed to give it a try. He put on a movie, and I tried to just focus on the movie, because I didn't want to talk. At one point, I glanced over to Matt, and he was staring at me with a smile on his face. I snapped a "What?" at him, and he just continued smiling, before saying, "I just can't believe it." "Believe what?" I asked. He said nothing, and went back to watching the movie, still smiling. I had no idea what he was talking about, but the interaction had every hair standing up on my body. I excused myself and locked the door to my room. Another month or so went on, and I had managed to avoid being home for much of anything beyond sleep and showers. Matt practically lived there, and had even brought a bunch of his things into Ashley's room. I really didn't want to move again, but was beginning to look for other options. On their 6-month anniversary, I saw a huge bouquet of flowers on the table and an already open card propped up next to it. I rolled my eyes and was about to leave when I decided to see what the weirdo wrote to her. When I opened the card, my heart started beating through my chest. Without even reading the words that he wrote, I was shaking. The handwriting was exactly the same as the writing in the letter that my stalker had sent. I had kept the letter as evidence and dug it out of my desk for comparison. The handwriting was unique, yet identical. Matt was the stalker. I called the police first. As they were on the way, I called Ashley and asked her to come home. She was at work, but said she would be there as soon as she could. I was terrified to tell her because I knew that she would be shattered. The police took a statement from me and actually went to Ashley's work to get more information from her. and that's when they ended up breaking the news. Apparently, Ashley called Matt and left a furious message, even though the cops told her not to say anything, and he completely disappeared after that. There was no Matt or anyone matching his resemblance at the place that he said he worked. Ashley had never been to his apartment because he said he had been staying with friends while trying to save money for a trip to Europe. His family lived out of state, and she never met a friend of his because he said that they had all had a falling out due to the fact that he was choosing to spend so much time with Ashley. These were all lies, and in the end, she was dating a stranger. We don't even know if Matt was his real name. Now, the cherry on top of this whole thing was when we went through Matt's things. He had left everything when he disappeared, and Ashley and I decided to go through everything he left. There was a duffel bag that was full of gym clothes, but in one of the compartments, there were about 10 physical pictures of me. All were taken from far away, with the exception of one while I was sleeping. The sheets were ones that I still had, so I knew that this had to have been at the current apartment before I started locking my bedroom door. A few of the pictures dated back to before the incident at my parents' house, which all but confirmed that that was him as well. Two pairs of my missing underwear were there, and I shudder to think of what he did with the rest. A Starbucks lid with my red lipstick marks, a necklace I hadn't even noticed missing, and a few other random sick souvenirs. The police never tracked Matt down. Around this time, I decided to accept an opportunity overseas that I'd been considering and got the hell out of there. Unfortunately, Ashley and I quickly drifted apart. She had a really hard time accepting that her first love was a complete psycho. I think I had some underlying anger directed at her, maybe misplaced, for believing all of his lies and letting him into our lives. I don't know what his endgame was. Would he have tried to hurt me? Or was he simply content with being in my world? I don't think I'll ever know. Being stalked changes you. Even when I lived across the world, I looked over my shoulder everywhere I went. I still have no social media accounts attached to my real name. I'm married with children, and know deep down that Matt just moved on to torment some other poor woman. And every time I visit my hometown, I'm tense and keep a low profile. Part of me will always worry that Matt will resurface again.